Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Pastor John and Becky's testimony around the tithes and offerings. I just want you to know at C3 that there's a level of permission. There is permission around material things. There's permission around material things. A lot of people think it's very, very spiritual to have no material connection. And even in the early church in the first century, that they dealt with the mystics and mysticism and the Stoics, who basically, it was a kind of like a Greek philosophy thing, that anything that was physical was evil. And that the only things that were important were spiritual things. But in your Bible, in my Bible, in the book of James, it says, if you see a brother or sister in need, hungry, destitute, homeless, clothing, and you say to them, oh, be filled, be warmed, be blessed, but don't actually give them something to eat or give them something to wear or comfort them, your religion is useless. So I say that because there is a spirit, and it masquerades as a religious spirit. And it sneaks in. Jesus had to deal with it, you know, his whole ministry. And don't ever let a religious spirit come on you. Religious spirit is always the first to pick up a stone and throw it. But I want you to know, at C3 Church, we understand God has no problem with you having stuff. God has no problem. You just need to give yourself permission that faith doesn't just get you into heaven. You're not just meant to use your faith to get into heaven. Now, that's the most important part, but yeah. But your faith also heals the sick. The Bible says, if you read in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith they took cities. By faith they took down giants. By faith they entered the promised land. By faith they saw the dead raised back to life. By faith, when they had negative doctor's reports of infertility and barrenness, by faith they conceived. By faith they brought forth children. By faith, you need to understand your faith isn't just for saving. Your faith is for believing. Your faith is for breakthrough. Your faith is to possess lands and occupy buildings and provide for your children. You better believe it. And so I want you to know that in this church, you will find that there is permission for you to have stuff. But understand, God doesn't mind you having stuff. He just minds stuff having you. He just minds stuff having you. And so the very same people that will sit here are saying we shouldn't have stuff are the same people that get ticked off when we speak about giving. That's an amazing thing. They're mad that we talk about you having stuff, and then when we talk about giving, that same anger rises up in them. And the reason is because giving is your ability to say, hey, stuff don't have me. Because if you own something, or if you think you own something, and God says, I want you to give it, and you can't give it, you don't own it. It owns you. If you have something and God says, I want you to give it, and you can't give it, you don't own it no more, it owns you. And so I found this, that giving people don't greed, and greedy people don't give. Giving people don't greed, greeting people don't give. So that's why you'll find that we always teach, God wants to prosper you, God wants to flourish, you to flourish. He wants you to live in abundance. He wants you to be blessed, to be a blessing. But so that stuff, and it can grab you like nothing else, you always have stuff and stuff doesn't have you, always be giving. And I'm just so proud of Pastor John and Becky for exercising their faith and, you know, living in a miracle of provision. Every person that's going to come to their house for dinner or whatever is going to hear the story. They're going to walk in. Their kids are growing up seeing that God is a God of faithfulness. When you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. All these things. So I just want to give you permission. I know it doesn't sit well with the religious spirit, but I ain't letting the religious spirit set the thermometer on what we teach in this house. And there are plenty of religious churches. Knock yourself out. You know, we'll even help you find one. But if you want to flourish, if you want to prosper, you know, C3 is the great house for you. But anyway, I digress. The title of my message today is the 1140 factor. The 1140 factor. Now, normally what I do, it's great to see Pat and Di here this morning, two of the most fabulous people. Can you stand up, beautiful Di? This is beautiful Di. She just turned 32 and it just had her birthday. They're from England, and just two of the most fabulous people. Pat works in the meat industry, and I'm telling you, you have not had steak till you've had. You have not had tri-tip. You have not had any cut until this man. So stand up, Pat. Let everybody see you. If you're throwing a party, if you're doing anything, and you want, he's the man to see. He's the man to see. I just love you guys. I just saw you there, and I thought, I'll just embarrass you for a minute. We love you. Now, normally what's meant to happen is I'm meant to preach to you today the message I preached at South last week and then at North Sunday night. But because looking at my schedule over the next few weeks, I don't have enough Sundays to preach all the stuff on this series. So I've decided to, it's already on podcast. Can I just encourage you, just go online, just this week as you're driving to work or stuck in traffic or exercising, walking on the beach, go to the C3 San Diego app or C3 San Diego website and listen to the message, Are You In? Are You In? I've yet to have as much emails and letters and people saying, this message more than any other message changed my life, changed my life, changed my life. And it will bless you, it'll do you good. But because of Accelerate Your Life series, I'm like, oh my gosh, it just kind of exploded and I've got more messages than Sundays. So I'm like, I want to preach, but I want to, and so I'm going to give you a new message this morning. But let me just encourage you, listen to that other message. It will bless you. It will do you good. Are you in? But today is the 1140 factor, the 1140 factor. So come with me to the book of Numbers, the book of Numbers in the Bible. Some people say God isn't into Numbers, but there's a whole book in there, Numbers chapter 14, Numbers chapter 14. And let me just say, if you're wondering what on earth is the 1140 factor, well, I'm glad you asked. In fact, while I do that, Dr. Don Easton, can you stand up? This is Dr. Don Easton, who's visiting from the Gold Coast in Australia. And he's a great pastor of a church down there. And now his son, Josh, runs the church. And Dr. Don gets to travel and consult and bless and help and minister. And so it's so great to have you here, sir. God bless you. Make sure he feels welcome. But the 1140 factor is this. From Egypt to the promised land was an 11-day journey. From Egypt to the promised land was an 11-day journey. Yet 40 years later, 40 years later, the children of Israel still had not entered into the promised land. It was an 11-day journey, and yet 40 years, not 40 days, 40 years later, they still hadn't crossed over. So that tells me if we're going to do a series on Accelerate, if we're going to do a series on teaching you how you can accelerate your life and accelerate the blessings of God in your life, there's some lessons that we can learn from what they did wrong. If it was an 11-day journey and it took them 40 years and 40 years later they still didn't enter, then there's a deceleration there. There's some stuff that we can learn from there. Now, some people may say, well, maybe they didn't have a compass. They got lost. Which way's north? You know, if only they had a compass. It wasn't that they didn't have a compass. They could have sunrises in the east, sets in the west. They could have easily figured out which way north was. Okay. Maybe it was the geography, the topography, the terrain. Can I just tell you, it had nothing to do with the geography.
maybe God had run out of power. Those 10 signs and wonders on Pharaoh, and now he was kind of like recharging, and it took 40 years.
It wasn't that God had run out of power. Can I tell you, it wasn't the geography. It wasn't the topography. It wasn't the terrain. It wasn't that God had run out of power. There were lessons that needed to be learnt. There were lessons that needed to be learnt in the wilderness. Now watch this. A lot of people, if you read the story, you think, okay, God delivers them from Egypt and he says, I'm going to take you to the promised land. I'm going to take you to the promised land. When you come into the house of God, you should hear this echo. You should hear a message that says, wherever you have been. And let me tell you, before you were born again, you will experience Egypt. You will experience oppression. You will experience exploitation. You will experience abuse, violation. You will experience addiction. You will experience these things because that is just the spirit of Egypt. It is the spirit of the world. And then you come into the house of God and you will hear a message that God wants to deliver you from oppression. God wants to deliver you from evil. God wants to deliver you from addiction. God wants to deliver you from bondage. God wants to deliver you from being oppressed and exploited and limited. God wants to bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey. Jesus says that he has come, John 10:10, that you may have life and life more abundantly. He says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Satan always operates in Egyptian principles, but Jesus come that you may have life and life more abundantly. So you should hear that. The problem is to go from Egypt into the promised land, you've got to go through a wilderness. Now, it wasn't that God didn't think things through.
Oh, God love God. He's good at big things, big picture, not good at detail, is he? You know, God love him. You know, he's just not good. He didn't really think it through, did he?
Gabriel, I'm taking him into a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, they've got to walk through a wilderness. I didn't even see that.
Come on, how many people know that God knew there was a wilderness? God knew there was a wilderness. The reason that God was taking them through a wilderness was because God had to transform them. God uses the wilderness to transform them. For 400 years, 10 generations, all they had known was slavery. All they had known was oppression. All they had known was violation. All they had known was exploitation. For 400 years, they had lived in slavery. It was all they knew. I got saved at 18. When I got saved at 18, all I knew was difficult. All I knew was struggle. All I knew was fear. All I knew was uncertainty. So God saves me, and then I begin to hear his promises. But his promises seem too great. His promises seem too impossible. How could you do this? My life? My life can have meaning. My life can make a difference. My life, there's a plan and a plan. Oh, no, God. I'm so familiar with my past. I'm so familiar with my present. I'm so familiar with my dysfunctions. I'm so familiar with my chains, my addictions. I'm so familiar with me. How could that possibly be? So God has to take you through a wilderness. The wilderness was God transforming. Now watch this. The Bible says the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt. There were slaves in Egypt. It's interesting because God, speaking about this situation, says, and I called my son out of Egypt. They came out of Egypt. In Egypt, if you said, what were you in Egypt? They would say slaves. God never saw them as slaves. They were in slavery, but God says, no, I called my son out of Egypt. The transformation that God was wanting to take place in the wilderness was for them to lose the slave label and understand the son, that they are sons. A father provides for his sons. A father provides for his household. So the Bible says that no sooner had God opened up the Red Sea, and the entire Egyptian army coming up behind were drowned in the Red Sea. And the Bible says that Miriam, Moses' sister, sings a song, and the whole nation joins in, young ladies with timbrels, and they're singing and dancing. The horse and its rider thrown into the sea, the might of Egypt plundered, the chariot, the horse, the sword, the weaponry, all of it. And they're singing the songs of how good God is. Oh, he is the hope of Israel. Here's the light, you know, and they're singing the song, you know. And the Bible says, as they're singing, they come to this beautiful river. And they call it the waters of Marah, because as they're singing, they take a little sip, spit it out, and the water's bitter. And the Bible says that they change from singing. They change from praising. They just left church from praising God. Oh, they sang the songs because they had brilliant worship leaders up here leading them in the songs. But as soon as their first obstacle hits, the Bible says, and they complained against God and they complained against Moses, saying, what is God? He brought us in the wilderness to kill us. The water's bitter. Let's select a leader and go back to Egypt. They immediately go into whining and complaining. So the Bible says, God speaks to Moses, says, take a branch and throw it in. I'm going to heal the waters. So he heals the waters. And the Bible says they camped there once God had healed the waters. And they discovered, coincidentally, they discovered 12 wells of water. Not 10 wells, not 13 wells, not 7 wells, 12 wells. How many tribes in Israel is there? One well for every tribe. Almost like God had thought it through. Almost like God already had their provision. God already had their provision. He was testing them. He was testing them. The Bible says there were 70 palm trees providing beautiful shade. If you read again, do you know how many elders there were in Israel? 70 elders. Each elder had his own palm tree of shade to sit under as he bore the weight and bore the load of bringing judgment and counsel and instruction to the children of Israel. God had already provided. The problem is they could sing songs in church, but as soon as life, as soon as negative, as soon as something that was adverse happened, they began to complain. So let me give you some scriptures, otherwise you're thinking I'm making all this stuff up. So, come on, 12 spies cross the Jordan River, 10 come back with a negative report. How many people know the story? 10 come back. It can't be done. There are giants in that place. The sons of Anak are there. The cities are fortified. It's a land that devours its inhabitants. We were like grasshoppers in there. It's like grasshoppers on the outside. We're not able to do it. The Bible says when all the children of Israel heard this negative report from the 10, they tore their clothes and they began to complain against Moses. And in Numbers 14 verse 2, it says, if only we died in Egypt, or if only we died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land? To fall by the sword that our wives and our children should become victims. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. It's amazing how many people, I'm just going to go back to the devil I knew. The greatest battle that every one of us face is that we are familiar with the devil that we knew. And there's a comfort in that. But God always asks you to step into the unknown. Abraham left his house, his family, his land, his people, his culture. And he said, where am I going? God says, I'm not telling you. Because faith is taking a step, trusting him, not trusting your sight, not trusting your senses. The Bible says the Lord led him out to a land whose city and maker, whose builder was God. Abraham didn't know. He was just following God. When God asked us to come from Sydney to San Diego, I didn't know what the church was going to look like, but I didn't need to. I just knew that my heavenly Papa was good. I just knew that he'd called us here, that this was going to be an incredible season, and that if I'm obedient, the God's blessing will follow. We always want certainty. We always want assurity. But when your certainty and assurity are in temporal things, you have temporal assurance and temporal certainty. God wants you to have your assurance and your certainty in him, in his goodness, in his promises, in something that is far more. So watch this. The Bible says, so Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before verse 6, I think it is, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, hello, we open up a Red Sea, drown the indigenous. I think that counts for delights in us. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. They are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said, stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle. So Moses now has to kind of pray for all the people. Don't, God, don't kill them.
Don't smite them, almighty smiter.
So go down to verse 20. Then the Lord said, okay, all right, Moses, I've pardoned according to your word. But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men, I want you to underline this, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit. Everyone say different spirit. Because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. If you said to me, hey, you know, Pastor, what's your angle? What's your objective every Sunday? Every Sunday, my job up here is to put a different spirit in you. My job is to get the spirit of it can't be done, the spirit of hopelessness, the spirit of victim, the spirit of fear, the spirit of anxiety, the spirit of doubt, the spirit of, to get that spirit out and put a spirit of Caleb on the inside of it. Put a conquering spirit. Put an all things are possible spirit. Put a with God. Put a, man, their protection. They are our bread. They are our, that's what I want to do. So point number one today in accelerating your life is believe. Everything rises and falls on what you believe. They did not believe and they did not enter. Now, here's what's crazy. The Bible says this was the generation that saw the glory of God. They saw him when he came down on the mountain. They heard him speak. They saw him dry the Red Sea. They saw the 10 judgments on Pharaoh. The river turned into blood. They saw the judgments. They saw it. They saw God bring water out of a rock. They saw God bring manna from heaven. They saw God bring in all the quail. They saw miracles. Now watch this. They were the generation that missed out. I used to have people say, man, if I just see a miracle, if I just see a miracle, if I just see a miracle, then everything will change. But it's interesting because the Bible does not say that faith cometh by seeing. See, the generation that crossed the Jordan, sacked the cities, and entered into the promised land were not the generation that saw, but were the generation that heard. They were the generation that heard about what the Lord had done. And they heard how God dried up the Red Sea and how they heard that God destroyed the might of Pharaoh. And they heard about God bringing water out of the rock. And they heard about God bringing manna from heaven. And they heard, and faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Let me just tell you this. When you were born, you came out head first. When you were born, you came out head first. This never changes. Till Jesus splits the sky, you will only enter into a new dimension head first. The Bible says, Romans 12, that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. You are transformed by the renewing of your mind. The devil wants you to hear the garbage of the world, the limitations of the world. He wants you to believe that life is cruel, that life is unfair, that life works for everybody else but you, that God is limited, that God has got his arm up his back, that God cannot bless you, that God cannot increase you, God cannot deliver you. These chains are too big for God. The city is too great for God. He wants you to live in limitation. You and I have this situation where we say, well, all my life, all I've known is oppression. All my life, all I've known is struggle. All my life, all I've known is addiction. All my life, all I've known is generations of welfare. All my life, all I've known is. Every time you see a butterfly, you may want to just ask that butterfly, hey, before you went into the cocoon, did you believe that you would one day fly? Because he would say to you, no, all my life, I just knew I was a worm. All my life, I just knew I was a caterpillar. The same word that's used, transformation, is the same word that describes the metamorphosis that a butterfly goes through from becoming, from going from a caterpillar or a worm into a butterfly. It's the same word, be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the same word. So you may say, well, you don't understand, Pastor. We're third generation. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. There's always been alcohol addiction. It's in our gene. You don't understand, Pastor. When I went to the doctor and he said, your grandmama died of cancer, your father died of cancer, it's a genetic thing. You know, more than likely you're going to, you need to understand, Pastor. Well, let me just tell you, that's what maybe what all you've known. The children of Israel were 10 generations in Egypt. All they'd known was slavery. All they'd known was victimhood. All they'd known was oppression. All they'd known was exploitation. All they'd known was abuse. But can I just tell you, your destiny needs to be interrupted. Your destiny needs an interruption from your past, and the interruption is always the promises of God. Don't live your life based on the history of what has been familiar in your life. When you come to C3 Church, we're going to preach this word. We're going to put it into your spirit that your life and your legacy doesn't have to be how it's always been. You can start a brand new dynasty. You can start a brand new legacy. It doesn't have to be like it's been for your family, for your papa's and mama's family, for your grandparents' family. You can make a change. You can break the chains. You can see something different is what God says, but you got to believe. You got to believe. See, God was taking them through the wilderness, not because he hasn't thought it out, but because he wanted their faith to rest in his power. They complained about no food. God sent them manna. They complained about no water, so God hit the rock. He was trying to get the message through to them. You don't need favorable conditions. God was trying to say, hey, if you're in a wilderness with me, it is greater than you being in a paradise without me. A wilderness with God is greater than a paradise without God. God is your provider. Do you know one of the names that he reveals himself as is El Shaddai? El Shaddai means the all-sufficient one. There's nothing that God needs. He is all-sufficient. He can create something out of nothing. He needs nothing. And when you are with this God, when you are with him, you begin to realize that he is all-sufficient. In the middle of a wilderness, he can bring quail. In the middle of the wilderness, he can rain down bread from heaven. In the middle of a wilderness, he can bring water out of a rock. In the middle of a wilderness, he can provide, because it's not about the wilderness. It's not about San Diego. The spirit of Egypt, the spirit of this world will try and tell you, you can't buy a home in San Diego. The prices are too expensive. You know, as though an angel, every year, Herald comes out, The principles of God and faith in God and the promises of God no longer work in the following cities. New York City, Madrid, Sydney, San Diego, San Francisco. As though it's too difficult for God. Oh, I'd love to provide. It's just so expensive, isn't it? Love to provide for you. What about you move to Alabama? It's a whole lot easier there for me. Don't make me do something hard. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is anything too difficult for God? But you got to believe. You got to believe. You always enter into a new season by believing. Now I've got to fast track because I just saw the time. Believing is so important because your believing affects your perceiving. This is very important. There's a saying, and it's very, very true, that perception is more powerful than reality. Perception is more powerful than reality. It's how you perceive something. If you perceive something as, man, it's impossible. If you perceive something as, man, it can't be done. If that's how you perceive it, if that's how you perceive it, you ain't even going to attempt. What's the point? It's impossible because that's your perception. Jesus is invited by Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, to come and pray for his 12-year-old daughter who's on death's door. The story of a woman with the issue of blood touches him. She gets healed. It's a distraction. It's a distracting moment. Once Jesus sorts out the distraction, the Bible says a man comes from the ruler of the synagogue's house, and he comes to Jairus, and in the presence of Jesus, he says, hey, why trouble the teacher any further? Your daughter's dead. Game over. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Now, you know, nice, kind, but I've just got to tell you, Jesus is more than a teacher. Don't ever let people tell you, well, you know, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, you know, he was an enlightened guru. He was one that, you know, reached nirvana. You know, he was a great instructor. He's a, you know, religious. Jesus did teach, but he wasn't just a teacher. The Bible says, as soon as Jesus heard the words, why trouble the teacher anymore? Your daughter's dead. Jesus turns to the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, and says, don't be afraid. Only believe and she will be raised up. Fear is the belief that something you can't see will happen. Fear is believing something you can't see will happen. Oh my God, I got a lump. It's probably cancer. What did I just say, the C word? I think I might die. Fear is believing something you can't see will happen. It is so different to faith. Faith, so different. Faith is believing something you can't see will happen. Did you notice how different it is? Fear is believing something you can't see will happen. It's so different to faith. Faith is believing something you can't see will happen. So different to fear. Jesus says to Jairus, he says, don't go to fear. Don't be afraid. I want you to go to faith. I want you to believe. All things are possible for him who believes. When you believe, now listen. Oh, I get it. This Australian with the funny haircut. I know. He's like, it's a positive thinking church. It's the power of positivity. I got you. You've been watching Tony. Yeah, I got you. Firewalking. Unleash your job. Positivity. No, no. Let me just tell you something. The power of positivity, it has a power in it, but it's thievery. Because positivity has to be rooted in something. I'm not telling you just be positive or just, you know, mindlessly believe. I'm telling you have faith in the promises of God. All of my positivity, all of my faith is rooted in something. It was Jesus, the Word of God, that gave him a word. Do not be afraid. Only believe and she will be raised up. When Jesus gets the report that Lazarus is dead, or when Lazarus was dying, sorry, is the report that he gets. Your friend Lazarus is sick. He's dying. Come at once. Jesus doesn't come at once. He stays a couple of days. Stays a couple of days. And they're like, Lord, you love this guy. It's pretty urgent. We really ought to go there. And Jesus says, no, this sickness won't end in death. But how many people know when they turn up, he's dead? You got that one wrong, Jesus. Well, I guess you can't be right all the time, Jesus. Nowhere did Jesus say he wouldn't die. Nowhere did Jesus say he wouldn't die. He just said it wouldn't end there. You need to understand the Bible says, my Bible says, your Bible says, that Jesus is the author and the finisher. He's the author. Do you know what an author does? He writes. He writes the story. History is his story unfolding in your life. That is history. History is his story being written in your life. Jesus has the quill. He has the journal of your life, and he's saying, it's not going to end in death. They're saying, yeah, shut the book, Jesus. Lazarus is dead. You got that one wrong. He's like, no, I still hold the quill. The story does not finish there. You need to turn the page because there's a new chapter. It doesn't end with your doctor's report. It doesn't end with your bankruptcy. It doesn't end with your addiction. It doesn't end with what negative people have said. It doesn't end with your loss. I'm in trouble. I'm only on point one. Watch what Jesus does. He says that this sickness will not end in death. You know what Jesus was doing? He knew it was so important. Dr. Don and I were talking about this yesterday. It was so important for him to spend these next 2 days literally in a cafe by Bethsaida. Bethsaida means house of fishing, a little fishing resort with the disciples, just recharging their batteries. You would say that is so irresponsible. If you want to be the Messiah, for goodness sake, save people, especially ones you love. But Jesus says, I don't need to physically be there. I just send my word ahead of me. I just need to send my word ahead of me. This sickness will not end in death. When they took Lazarus' dead body and when they put it into the tomb and they rolled the stone over the entrance of the tomb, Lazarus was in a tomb. But Lazarus wasn't in the tomb alone. Hovering over him was a word from Jesus, was a word from the Messiah, was a word from the Son of the living God. And the word was, this sickness will not end in death. That's why when Jesus gets there, he says, just roll away the stone. Just roll it away. The Bible doesn't say that he went in and laid hands and looked to the Father and said, come on, God, this is dead. No, the Bible says he just stood there and says, Lazarus, come forth. Now, he had to say Lazarus, because if he said come forth, there would have been people walking around everywhere. It's like, what the heck? And so he had to say Lazarus. Because the word was already there. My job is to put the word. When God speaks a word, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. John had a word in his spirit, even though it was in escrow, even though the sales agent said, we got a cash offer. You don't have the money to close. When the bank says, we can't fund you, you don't have enough deposit, you don't have enough. When the bank said all of those things, John had a word that was ahead of him in the tomb of his impossibility with resurrection. But there's power in the word of God. Everything you enter by believing. The whole point of church is for me to get you to believe differently. Jesus said, did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. You would see the glory of God. Oh, man, number two. Oh, man, complaining is the language of unbelief. Complaining is the language of unbelief. How many people here, and stand up if it's you, you're stronger than an ox or a rhinoceros or a bull elephant? Anybody physically stronger? All right. Anybody here that's faster than a lion or a cheetah? Okay, it's interesting because when God created, man rules over all of creation. We rule over animals that are physically stronger. We rule over animals that are faster than us. And yet man rules over them. Why is that? Well, the Bible says, because you were made in the image and the likeness of God. Well, how is that? I heard that chimpanzees have 99% of our DNA. But chimpanzees don't speak. They don't speak. You and God are the only beings in all creation that have the power to speak. God created the universe with the words of his mouth. God created the world that we live in with the words of his mouth. And he puts his word in your mouth. Because of sin and because we live in a fallen world, the disposition now that we live in is in Proverbs 29:18, that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it eat its fruit. So I found that death is my default switch. Oh, it's hopeless. Oh, man, we're never going to get ahead. Oh, we're never going to be able to save up enough deposit to buy a home. Man, it's just too expensive. Man, this always happens. People always. And I find with my mouth, the Bible says the children of Israel continually complain. They complain, they complain, they complain. Can I just tell you, complaining is the devil's substitute for praying. The devil knows that you and I are going to face obstacles. We're going to face giants. We're going to face walls. We're going to face droughts. We're going to face bitter waters. We're going to face disappointments. So the devil doesn't want you to pray, because prayer is always an invitation to God. It's an invocation for God to move. He'd rather you complain. Because complaining says, I'm still a slave in Egypt. I'm still, I'm a victim. Life is cruel. Life is unfair. God is not able to. The giants are bigger than my God. And so we complain. The Bible says that when the children of Israel complained, he sent fiery serpents among them. I found that complaining empowers the devil. The Bible says about David that when everyone looked at Goliath, people said this, that amongst the whole military, all the army said, who is able to go against this man? Who is able to overcome him? He was 9'9". He was undefeated. His armor was without blemish, without spot. He destroyed every foe that stood before him. And all the Israelites were in fear. And they said, who is able to go against this man? David comes down to the battle. And he sees Goliath. And he says, what will be done for the guy that kills him? And then I go, what? He's like 15, 16. What did you say? He said, well, what'll be done for the guy that kills him? Is there a reward? It's like, nobody's asking that question. Yeah. Rewards. Oh, what kind of rewards? The king will let you marry his daughter. Wow. All the other girls walk to school. She rides in a carriage. She's so cute. She gets all the spa treatments. She's got the entire Barbie collection. She's even got divorced Barbie. He comes with all of Ken's stuff. That's a really bad joke. I know. It's a really bad joke. But and your father's house will be exempt from taxes. Woo, that'll be. The Bible says when David's words were heard, they brought him to the king. Nowhere does it say when David's skill as a warrior, when David's resume was presented. It says when David's words were heard. So complaining attracts and empowers the devil, but David's words elevated him. David's words elevated him. 10 spies says it couldn't be done. 2 spies says it can be done. Who was right, the 10 or the 2? I always do that because it's a trick question. Yvette got it right. All 12 were right. The 10 who says it can't be done. We can't cross over. The giants are too big. The cities are too fortified. We are not able. We're 100% correct. They died this side of the Jordan. The 2, Joshua and Caleb, who said, what are you talking about? Their protection has departed. Let us go up at once. If the Lord delights in us, he will give us the land. We are well able with God to take it. They were 100% correct. They crossed the Jordan River. They sacked the cities. They lived in the promised land. And today it is a nation called Israel because of the faith of Joshua and Caleb. So here's the deal. Whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, ultimately you're going to be right. You have to make a decision that despite how I feel, despite what the circumstances, despite what the situation is telling me, I'm going to put God's word in my mouth and I'm going to speak God's word. I'm going to declare God's word that by his stripes I am healed. Oh, son, you got it. Yeah, but by his stripes I am healed. With God, all things are possible. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Load your mouth with the word of God. Now, let me finish on this. And I'll do point 3 another time. The Bible says that Jesus saw a fig tree with leaves on it. The leaves said that there's life here. It's drawing nutrients from the ground, and the leaves indicate there should be fruit. But when Jesus gets here, there's no fruit. There's no figs. So, you know the story, Jesus goes to the fig tree. The next day, the disciples come past, and they're like, oh, Jesus, quick, stop, look. Oh my gosh, the fig tree you cursed, it shriveled up from the roots. And Jesus gives them a teaching. I'll tell you the truth. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say. You can say to this mountain. You can. There's power in what comes out of your mouth that can kill stuff and shift stuff. But it's interesting because they said, Jesus, the fig tree you cursed. If you look at it in Mark chapter 11, nowhere does it say, and Jesus stood before the fig tree and says, I curse thee in my name. You know what Jesus said? He said, let no one ever eat fruit from you again. Let no one ever eat fruit from you again. You and I, oh man, I'm such a klutz. We're never gonna. Man, that kid, he's always gonna be off the. No one's ever gonna love me. I'm gonna be single my whole. Nothing's gonna change till this changes. Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Watch this. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Your mouth is the fruit producer of your life. Your mouth is the fruit producer of your life. Jesus standing on a platform. Pontius Pilate is right on the cusp of giving Jesus over to be crucified. All the people are yelling false accusations. Jesus just stands there silently. Pilate marveled, the Bible says, that normally people are begging for their life, arguing with these, that's not true, I didn't kill her. They're normally, and he can't believe that Jesus is just silent. And he says, sayest thou nothing? Don't you hear these accusations? Don't you realize this day I have power to decide whether you live or whether you die? Jesus said, you would have no power unless it was given to you from above. But even now, if my kingdom was of this world, my disciples would fight for my deliverance. But my kingdom is not of this world. Now, he'd just gotten a letter from his wife saying, have nothing to do with this Jesus guy. I've suffered things in a dream about him. There's something freakishly different about him. And Pilate is discovering that. So he turns to Jesus and says, so you are a king then? Jesus doesn't say, yes, it's true, I'm the Messiah. Jesus says, it is as you say. I know who I am. But me knowing who I am don't save you. But don't save your sorry aspect. I said aspect. It is as you say. See, if you just say, well, I just believe he was a teacher, knock yourself out. I believe he was the Messiah. I believe that he was the substitute. I believe he hung on the cross because I couldn't make it into heaven. I believe that he bore my transgressions. He carried my griefs. He bore my sorrows, that by his stripes I am healed. I believe that he hung on a cross so that he could exchange his perfection and righteousness while he took my filth, my degradation, my sin, my condemnation upon him, that because of my faith in him, I have everlasting life, not because of how clever I am, but because of how brilliant his plan of salvation is. It is as you say. It is as you say. If you say it can't be done, if you say it's impossible, if you say, then it'll be as you say. But my Bible tells me if I put this word in my mouth, I can change my circumstances. I don't have to agree with the experts. I don't have to agree with the doctors. God bless the doctors. God bless the experts. But I don't have to agree with them. I can agree with what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that my God, blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply. My God says that by his stripes, I am healed. My God says that he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees and in seeing provides. My Bible says that his hand is not short, then it cannot save. My Bible says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My Bible says that if God be with us, who or what can be against us? My Bible says that in Christ I'm more than a conqueror. My Bible says that in him I'm an overcomer. My Bible says, I love what, and I made a decision. I'm going to live according to what the Bible says. I'm going to speak what the Bible says. And for 32 years, I've continually lived above my pay grade, lived outside of what the experts said. You can live there. Just make a decision death and life. I'm going to shut down death. I'm going to mute death, but I'm going to speak life. Come on, if you believe that, give God a great shout this morning. We've run out of time. I promise you I'll do point three another time. Just close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment. Those people watching on live stream, it's been such a delight to have you with us. But I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the message. God is always looking for a response. The most important thing to God is response. If you're here today saying, hey, pastor, that's a word for me. I need to make a change in my life. I need to make a shift in my life. I need to respond to God in my life. Maybe you're away from God and you need to come back. Maybe you once walked with God, but you're not walking with Him any longer. I want to give you an opportunity to come back. Maybe you're here today and you're just far from God. Friend, don't leave the same way you came. With every head bowed, every eye closed, with no one looking around, no one moving. If that's you, would you let me pray for you right now? Just lift your hand and say, hey, pastor, that's me. I need to come back. I need to get my life right with God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Who else is there? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Who else is there? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow, so many hands. Thank you, thank you. I see those hands. Thank you up the back. Thank you on the side. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. So many hands. Anybody else? I know I'm over time, but is there one more person? Thank you over there. I see that hand. Thank you, sweetie. I see your hand. Is there somebody else? Man, my life's not right. I want to get it right with God. I'm telling you, God will accelerate your life beyond what you can do in your strength. Greatest thing I ever did was surrender to Him. No regrets. Is there just one more? One more that needs to make that decision? Yes, I see your hand. Thank you. Yes, I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to say a prayer for you. Then I have to dismiss the service because we've got a 12 p.m. service coming in. Standing over here to my left is the man who played Jesus in our Jesus the Rock musical. He's standing right by our response lounge. Next to him is a beautiful young lady. And we want to give those of you that raise your hands, we want to give you a Bible, which is God's manual for how to just conquer in life. We also want to give you a book called Following Jesus. That's just our gift to you. So if you raise your hand, go and see these people. They're going to pray with you. They're going to give you that and send you on your way. If you're with someone that raised their hand, make sure that they get there. If you raise your hand, you can bring a friend with you and go in there. But church, why don't we stand to our feet? Let me pray a blessing over you. And even the people watching online. Father, I just thank you. Lift your hands high. Lift your hands high like you're receiving something from God. Like you're receiving something from God. Father, I thank you today, Lord God, that you are shifting our dish. You're shifting how we believe, how we perceive, so you can take us into a new level of receiving. That this year would be the greatest year. 2018 would be the greatest year of their lives. Father, that every son and daughter in this place, every son and daughter in this place has a heavenly father, has a heavenly papa who is their provider, who rejoices over them with singing, who's engraved their name into the palm of his hands, who watches them. When they walk through the fires, they will not be burned. When they go through the waters, they will not be drowned. For you, the Lord, are with them to heal them, to deliver them, to transform them. And I declare today, Father God, that your power is released in the words of our mouth. And we make a decision, Lord God, to put a guard over our mouth, to not speak words of death and cursing, but rather to speak the blessing of God, that I am blessed. I am blessed going in, I'm blessed going out. I'm the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. That God is for me. If God is for me, who or what can be against me? Father, bless these people.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.